It is Sunday the 7th of April, we're in the Bunkers Hill, and this is the Cat's Whiskers podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you happen to be listening back to this podcast. We have quite the collection of people around the table tonight, and we're going to attempt to include all those that wish to contribute. I think we probably know what is going to dominate the conversation tonight. In case you are living under a rock, the Nottingham Panthers have finished... The Nottingham Panthers have not qualified for playoffs. We finished in ninth. And
so, number 10.
Woo! I mean, silver linings if you want one. But you know, this is the point at which this fantastic group of players will invariably be parting ways. And we're going to talk about that. And around the table tonight, we have Adam.
Good evening, everybody.
And... fresh from a ladies' podcast that we did earlier this season. Still you can still listen back. Still available to listen to. We have Gemma.
Hi.
We have Zara.
Hello.
And we have also podcast alumni, Paul Barm.
Hello.
And we have Ant.
Hello, hello, hello.
And I'm not sure if we're going to let him talk much because, you know, he's a Storm fan and everything. But this is... to my left, we have Aidan Millen, the match night announcer for the Manchester Storm.
Good evening, everyone.
And Alison, Aidan's partner.
Bonsoir.
Yes. Hello.
A touch of class to the podcast.
Touch of class for the podcast. Yeah, that's it. I think we should just...
She showed us all the already.
Yeah, that's it. We should just stop now. It's the best it's going to get for us tonight, folks.
She has had a conversation in French with your coach.
I know. I'm so jealous.
We're on the
jealous.
Same page there.
Yeah. Apparently from a similar sort of area of France.
It's actually northern, so it's more like Limoges.
Oh, northern. You're northern.
Southern. I've had a few beers. Southern.
Yeah, we don't want to say it.
That's it. Okay. It's all the same.
We're all very jealous that you've been able to speak to our coach in his native tongue, because you probably know how, if our suspicions are correct that he is, just as... affluent in his native tongue as our assistant coach Kevin Moore, who has been something of a figurehead for our season. Let's have a look at you. How was Jonathan? Was he all right?
Yeah, it was really nice. Just down to earth, really, wasn't
lovely
he?
Bloke.
Lovely. Yeah.
I get to practice my five words of French with him whenever he comes to Manchester.
I mean, if you are married.
It's bonsoir, ça va. Yes, ça va, ça va. It's a weird thing in France. Apparently, ça va, it means how are you, and it also means I'm good. Yeah. And they just say ça va, ça va, ça va to each other on repeat forever. Seems to be the thing.
Gosh. I mean, I'm a bit disappointed, Aidan, that you don't know more French if you are marrying a French woman. I'm just going
to
put it out there.
According to Duolingo, I know about 300 words by now. And I know it to read it, but as soon as I try to speak it or listen to it, I just go blank.
Your wife to be should be very disappointed in you. Anyway, I'm just going to put that. We're going to leave that there.
I will give him a little bit of backup there. For coming from somebody who, whose father is not English, that he's French speaking predominantly, I totally get that, because like every time I've spent time with his family, you start to pick up what they're saying. But if you ask me to like have a conversation now with if JP walked in here now, I'd be like, bonjour.
Anyway, way around, but we're going off track.
We're very much going off track. Okay, so anyway, let's start off with that. Actually, let's talk about the coaching staff, because as I have already stated, our coaching staff have become very dear to our hearts. I think particularly Kevin Moore has stood out because he has absolutely cemented himself as something of a figurehead. He did he was the first guy who, you know, he was on East Midlands Today. You know, he's done most of the really poignant interviews. I will just put out there, Jonathan Paraday's English has come on leaps and bounds, frankly. It's been lovely to watch the development of that. But yeah, our coaching staff, I think, first and foremost, we can talk about that because our season has effectively ended. I think it is definite, and I know, Ant, you did have your hand up, but from my perspective, I think the first thing I want to say is I think it's first and foremost we need to make sure that we get those guys back because they deserve a chance, you know, to have a clean slate, basically to have a season where they are operating under usual circumstances, for want of a better way of putting it. And sorry, you had your hand up first, but I've got like three hands going up now.
I was first in the queue. This is, if you had it on Teams, I'd be number one. I'd be number two, and Zara would be number three. I just wanted to say Kevin Moore makes Asda or whatever Sainsbury's or whatever supermarket carrier bag he had. Kevin Moore makes supermarket carrier bags look cool. But yeah, totally on that. If they want to come back, bring them back. You know, and we've said it on previous podcasts, I'm all in for the Jonathan Paraday bum slaps. I'm in it. Kevin Moore, Mr., you know, stands, puts himself out there and spoke when we needed a voice. And I mean, we all love Rick Strachan, right? He's one of us.
Part of the ship, part of the crew.
Part of the ship, part of the crew. Adam.
Wow. You've not left me with much to go on there, Ant, because I think I was probably going to say a lot that was similar to that. What I would say is, this season has been completely unprecedented in a whole number of ways. And I feel that, you know, the coaching staff haven't just been coaches. They've had to be almost, you know, psychologists as well. You know, they've had to deal with, you know, the tragedy that's happened.
They've been parents, in a sense, as well, haven't they?
It's almost been like a sense of parental duty that they've had to the players that they're coaching this year. So it's not just the normal coaching relationship between the coaching staff and the players. It's almost like a pastoral relationship as well. And, you know, I think that's probably going to have drained the coaching staff emotionally. I know, you know, the fans have been emotionally drained as well. And, you know, it comes back to what you were saying a few minutes ago, Tina. I want this coaching staff to be back in their entirety because I want them to be here next year when hockey is the sole focus, when there's no external factors, no extenuating circumstances. They can focus solely on coaching. They can focus solely on getting the best out of these players without any sort of outside noise, for want of a better word. And, you know, let's see where we go from that. I think we owe that to them. They've seen the love that the fans have given them tonight and the last few games and over the course of the whole season. You know, if they don't come back, we won't hold it against them. We really won't, because I can understand if they want to put a bit of distance between themselves and Nottingham, given what happened. But if they come back, they'll be loved and, you know, we will give them all the respect that they deserve for what they've gone through this season, and, you know, hopefully build a roster next year that can compete and, you know, we can show the true Nottingham Panthers and be back at the upper end of the standings again.
Yeah, most definitely. Zara?
Yeah, no, I was just off the back of that. For me, it's about continuity as well and identity. Because I think we've had the past few years, we've had coaches come in, we sack them halfway through the season, and then we have no identity. You know, the last time we had that was with Corey Nielsen, and he was there for 10 years. We need a coaching team that's going to be here for a few years. And I think there's more chance of players staying as well if we can keep the same sort of team. So for me, it's bringing back the continuity, identity. And exactly like what Adam said, and Anton as well, that, you know, it's the bum slaps are great. Like watching that, you're geared up for it. Like JP's geared up for it. Kevin Moore's geared up. It's fantastic. And they bring that, but they're bringing hockey back to Nottingham. And it's inspiring. And I think we need to keep that on, you know, there's so many levels. Mm.
Gemma?
I'm agreeing with Zara on this one, and I feel like they do need another. Basically, they need another season anyway. Like they came in and they didn't know how we played, they didn't know our league, know nothing. And fortunately, things have not gone their way. And I think let's bring them back with much very open arms, Kevin Moore. And let's let the coaching staff show them what we can do when we're on form.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, I'll be honest, yeah, I was going to come to you anyway, Aidan, because me and you have already had a bit of a conversation about this, because obviously the Manchester Storm are seeing the benefits of keeping Matt Ginn on as the head coach. You are really seeing that, because he's brought some key guys back and he's added to the squad, and you're netminders. I mean, I was...
Best netminder in league, Wellingham.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I was going to say netminder, and then... Yeah. But why would I forget about Oldale? Because he's been absolutely fantastic, you know, backing up.
I have an alternative pronunciation. Oh, well,
No.
You think he was Italian or something? Good old Oldale.
Storm have breached their import limits. They've got an Italian netminder in.
We're not Belfast, mate. Come on. Heck. We play by the rules, man. Continuity, going back to Zara's point, is it's the thing as an interested observer of Nottingham. So for everybody listening, so yeah, I'm a Manchester guy. I grew up in Manchester, but I've lived in Nottingham now for 10 years. Moved here for a job 10 years ago. And then at the time, Storm didn't exist. We had Manchester Phoenix, who played in the EPL, but I wasn't really interested in that level of hockey. I moved here and I was like, I'll try and follow Panthers, because as growing up in Manchester... didn't like the Steelers very much. And of course, no one dislikes the Steelers as much as you guys. It was like, enemy of my enemy is my friend situation. So, yeah, I was trying to follow the Panthers for a year. I couldn't quite... They just weren't my team at the end of the day. As much as my second team, not my team. Then Storm came back and I was like travelling to Manchester every week. I've got the announcer's gig, which I love more than anything, apart from my lovely fiancé here.
Oh, good save there, good save.
Smooth, man. Smooth. See, I brought that right back. We're getting married in 41 days, so yes.
Oh, hello.
Save the date, everybody. Yeah. But as I was saying, so I am a very interested observer in all things Nottingham Panthers, because many of my friends are Panthers fans. The team I play for here in Nottingham are all Panthers fans. And one of the highlights of my season has been getting to know you guys, because obviously I know Jono, you guys know Jono, and that's how I've got to know you guys, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, just as a footnote, I mean, it's entirely possible that he can walk in the building at any point, so, you know, let's just prepare ourselves for that. The sponsors shirt presentations are on, so he's filling in on the old media duties. But anyway, you know, just prepare yourself for the grand entrance at any point. Anyway, sorry, Aidan.
Yeah, that's cool. And one thing I have noticed is... I've spent the last couple of years, not this year, because obviously it's a massive exception, but I kind of giggle when I read like the reactions of your fan base on many occasions where you guys, when you were like fourth, fifth in the league and everything was a crisis, every loss was a massive issue, and it was always sacking of coaches seemingly every 5 minutes. There was no patience among the fan base. Now I'm just kind of giggling like, should try being us, you know? At least the last couple of years from our point of view have been fantastic. Obviously finishing sixth last year, fourth this year, it's been absolutely brilliant. We're a club with a lot of ambition now, and it's been absolutely fantastic. But going back to the Panthers, it's like you say, continuity. You've been sacking coach after coach after coach, giving them till like half the season, getting them out the door. And it would be great to see a bit of continuity on your part and see what would happen if you did give someone time. Like Pashik came in, two years ago now, when Pashik came in. And obviously, you know, he'd learned a heck of a lot when he was in Manchester. He learned a lot in Dundee. And now he's come in with... And Hull, of course, before then. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the first season he was here, again, he kind of kept on the cycle of getting rid of a coach after not that many, that much time. And he kind of has to, I think, settle now and just, you know, let someone... If, of course, Jonathan Paraday wants to stay... Of course, that's a you know, potentially an issue there. But if he does, I would love to see what he does and how the team develops from there.
Yeah, most definitely. Sorry, Ant, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, I just wanted, and they touched up on the Panthers podcast midweek. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it, where Ken is, you know, it sounds like he's had a good night. we'll just leave it there, Andy Hayward style. Can you remember you were 10th? And Ryan Finney, who is now your, you know, Omar Pasha, called the team out and was brutally honest with that team. I mean, personally, as a fan, I'd love seeing that sort of thing, you know, and he held nothing back and he called his team out. For his team not to go out and even throw a hit in a game, he was embarrassed, yada, yada, yada. And then since then, look at what's happened. I mean, from a Storms fan perspective... How did you react to that personally? And then
Are you allowed? I mean, are you even if you're not allowed, then just say so, and we'll move on, and we can probably delete this on post edits.
Yeah, no, I haven't got the effort level for that. So, you know, if you just you know, putting it out.
No
there.
Comment.
Yeah, no comment if you can't.
I don't want to know a comment because I mean, as everyone knows about Finna, you know, as you've seen, he spoke his mind. It has been a strange scene. Obviously, it's ended brilliantly with us being in fourth, and the run that we've been on, like since that statement came out, since the turn of the year, has been absolutely fantastic. And then before up to that point, we were very much in fits and starts as a team. We had good moments, we had very bad moments. And what we've just kind of seen over the last few months is the fact that this league for the, say, position five downwards has been incredibly even. Yeah. There's only ever been more than, like, a couple of points between all the teams. And we are just the team that has managed to climb away from that. Yeah. And just kind of, like, we put it together at the right time. What made that happen, I'm not aware of. I'm not aware of the thing that turned our season around. I'm not going to speculate about it, but it's just great that it has.
Sorry, we've got a bit of a battle royale going on because Adam and Ann both want to come in. Go on.
Carry on the Finity thing. So before Adam goes in, it's like from a Panthers fan's perspective, when Finity was a player, he was a proper ship's breaking system. I can say that, right?
A ship's breaking system.
I mean, I don't understand it, but as a substitute for a swear word, I'll go with it.
Well, have a think what a boat uses to break itself.
As a
GM and what have you, he seems to have so much respect for this organisation. It's very, very strange. As a coach, I'm not going to lie, I would have loved him to see him behind the bench at Nottingham at some point. Obviously not now because he's progressed and what have you. But for somebody who on the ice, the battles between him and Bruce Richardson are legendary. It's very strange giving props to Finney, but I love that guy, and I hope he remains part of the Elite League for a long time to come. Adam, now you can come in.
Your permission. Okay.
Yeah. All I would say is, I mean, having sort of watched Manchester with a keen eye over the years, I think that they've done exceptionally well given the rink they play in, you know, with the limited capacity to sort of punch above their weight. And I think this year they've really shown that shrewd recruitment has benefited them to get them up to the top of the standings. And, you know, I think there's going to come a point in the next maybe 2-3 seasons where, you know, maybe Manchester might outgrow Altrincham, dare I say, you know, and think about a bigger venue. I mean, of course, you know, some of us remember when Manchester played at the MEN Arena, you know, back in the ISL days. That was, you know, a very, very big venue. And it might come back to the fact that Manchester needs sort of like a mid-sized venue, you know, maybe 5,000-6,000 seats in the arena. And I think that'll be a very sustainable sort of location for Manchester. But, you know, until that happens, Altrincham, it's a very sort of quaint rink. You know, it's
quaint is being very polite, Adam. It's not the way I would describe it. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, sight lines aren't exactly optimal. But, you know, it's got its charms and, you know, it's damn cold, so you know if you go there, don't forget your thermal socks. But it is nice because it feels like a proper old ice hockey rink, you know, with a damn good atmosphere. And you don't need that many fans in that building to create a good atmosphere. And when, you know, a few people sing, it's really loud. And last night was a sellout. It was really good. You know, the Storm fans were singing, the Panthers fans were singing. The match night, you know, announcer was doing a decent job.
It was all right. I mean, let's not overstate things, right? No, I'm joking. Actually, Aidan, you're very kind. You did you did get in touch with us on the old Twitter just to say, you know, how good the Panthers fans were last night. And I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, I was in that, in amongst that fan base, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm biased, obviously, but we the last two times we've been, because myself, Zara, Gemma, we've had some girls' trips, and we've been so privileged to be a part of a fan base that has just brought the noise with us, essentially. So sorry, Aidan, you wanted to come
in. I was just going to go onto your rink point. So that is something obviously everybody on my side of the fence is aware of. They have announced that there will be hopefully a new rink going up in Manchester in the next couple of years. So we await news of that with interest. But for the time being, it's just concentrating on filling that barn every week. And that is something that we've done on a more regular basis over this season in particular. Now that Finner has kind of taken ownership of the club, in addition to kind of being GM, you know, he's got a keen eye for absolutely every side of this business. You know, is looking at the match night experience, the way the rink is, and the team and the players. Like, the way he puts it is he wants to make sure that the players have got no excuses. That the rink isn't an excuse, anything else to do outside of the ice is an excuse. So he wants the guys looked after in the best possible way. And we're seeing the results of that this season.
Yeah, well, it's funny, actually, because, I mean, you know, we've had many, many discussions in the past few years about the resources available to the Nottingham Panthers. But this season, obviously, the conversations are very different in that respect. Sorry, Zara, you wanted to come in.
No, I was just going to go back on the point about the noise and the fans travelling yesterday, how incredible it was. That's what it's been like all season. And it's been obviously awful circumstances. But ever since, you know, when it happened, we've felt a lot more closer to the club. And the connection, it's just kind of inspired everyone. It's brought everyone closer together. Obviously, it's sad circumstances, but at the same time, it makes you very proud to be a part of that. And it just to feel closer to the club, to Omar, to the coaching staff, everything they do on social media, it does make you sort of really want to look forward with the club. And hopefully, you know, that's the foundation that then we can push on. Even with the announcements with, you know, season tickets this week. With Omar's announcement and everything, with, you know, what they're now going to offer season ticket holders and the package and stuff, and you just feel like we're finally getting there, we're turning that corner, and I just hope that by being connected to the club that then the success will come on the ice, because I think Aidan's right, I think you get all the background things right and then the success happens on the ice, and that's exactly what Omar talked about at the Q&A a couple of years ago. So I really do believe we're turning this corner, and, you know, who knows what will happen the next couple of years.
Yeah, let's not talk about Omar and Q&A when I'm around, because you know, I gave him a very hard time last season.
yeah. I mean, Zara is absolutely spot on. The momentum I think that we're taking, ironically, it's the end of the season now for us. You know, we tried our absolute damnedest to qualify, you know, and we just fell perilously short, unfortunately. You know, we left everything out on the ice for the last, you know, well, since, you know, obviously October, everything was given, you know, emotionally, physically, everything like that. But it sort of rekindled my love of ice hockey, because, you know, I don't want to get too maudling about this or anything like that, or else I might start being quite emotional. But
honestly, they're around this table, there's been tears. At least 50% of the table, there's been tears tonight. Yes, I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm in the 50%.
Well,
but
people have been chopping onions.
Yeah.
But look, bit dusty in here.
Yeah. I think that,
hey, fever. Yeah, I like that one.
The environment around the club, the environment between the players, the coaching staff, the fans, I've never experienced anything quite like it before. I've been a fan of this club for, my first game was 94, so I mean, we're talking 30 years ago now, and you know, obviously every season's a little bit different, but this year the cards that we've been dealt have been horrific, and we've sort of, you know, made the best of what we've got.
I bet you'd have been terrible.
And, you know, the bond, the sort of chemistry, the, you know, the togetherness, the family feel, really. It has felt like one big family. You know, we've all leaned on each other to get through. You know, around the table, you know, the fans have all sort of, like, connected. And, you know, I'm sure there are, like, thousands of separate little mini networks around amongst the fan base. But, you know, I can only speak about our own little network of fans that we've, you know, been part of this season. And it's been amazing, you know, and it's been emotional. And there's been times where we've all had to sort of like G each other up and keep each other going, because, you know, heads have gone down and we've been sort of, you know, a little bit disillusioned because the results haven't been going our way. And there was that spell of hockey, I think just after Christmas, where we were seemingly getting no luck at all. We were like losing games by a goal, or, you know, losing games in overtime, and we went on that long losing streak. And it wasn't a reflection of the players' efforts or, you know, attitudes, because they were still, you know, absolutely spot on all the time. You know, they were giving everything, but it was hard, you know, and we all had to try and pull through, and we all helped each other. And I like to think that the fan base as a whole, and I don't like speaking for a fan base as a whole, because I'm just one person amongst, you know, several thousand Panthers fans, but it has felt like one massive, massive family effort to try and pull us through and keep everybody's heads up and keep everybody sort of in the moment. And even though we've not qualified for the playoffs, I am so, so damn proud of everybody at the club, players, coaching staff, fans, because we've given absolutely everything we can. And I know we've just fell short, and it is painful at the minute. You know, we're all going to be pained about it for, you know, the next few days. But, you know, when some of us go to the playoff finals in a fortnight's time, you know, we'll be so proud. Even though our team's not there, we'll be so damn proud. And, you know, everyone should just sort of like look back and say, you know, I think this club's in a much, much better place now than it was a year ago.
Yeah, let's not have some short memories about this, all people. Gemma, you wanted to come in?
It was just about our fan base, really. Like you were saying, like Manchester last night, like on point, is a massive understatement. And it's really nice to be recognised by other fans, the heart and soul that we, not like we as a mini group here, but we as a collective put in. And it was realising tonight as well that like the chanting just literally wasn't just in one area. That chanting was absolutely everywhere. And it's so touching at the same time. And
yeah.
And it's not just the same chant either, it's the different chants. Like you said, proud to be a pub to clap your hands, and like that's making a comeback. And it's like, do you know what, this season, that means more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I want to sort of say about, and I might have actually lost my thread just towards the end of what Gemma was saying there, but the togetherness. And you know, me and Aidan have had a conversation about this actually already, you know, the whole, you know, the sort of, you know, the fans engagement and everybody in this fan base has fully invested.
Everyone's
in this. Yeah, everybody in this fan base has been. Yeah, we're all absolutely skinned because we want because we want to be at every single game. Yeah.
We've got to invoice Adam.
Zara set her own company up to invoice me because I owe her so much money for tickets for games away in Manchester.
Hey, look, right, it's only going to be a few months before, you know, the fixtures come out and we're going to do it all again. You know, it's going to be the Belfast trip, the Scotland trip, and actually, I do want to touch on the Belfast trip, because how many fans went over for that double header. Like, even when we won the league, I don't think we took that many fans over. That was incredible, absolutely incredible. For and it's been like that all season. We've all just, well, yeah, absolutely. Well, Auntie's absolutely desperate to come in here. I'm sorry, Aidan, I'll come back to you in a sec.
I need to get on this, but yeah. I think I mentioned it on the previous podcast. Scott Finley, who part of the Coventry Blaze organisation, does the Coventry Blaze live updates, does the 3-on-3 podcast. He messaged me after that game in Coventry that Adam was at, where Adam broke down and we'd won the game for the first half. He messaged me and just said, like, all you need to do as an organisation is send the video out from the end of that game. The connection between the fans and the players, and it's, you just literally say, come to play for Nottingham Panthers, this is what you get. And unbelievable.
That game was unbelievable. You know, it's hard to describe the emotions because they were so sort of like roller coaster. And, you know, at the end of it, oh man, you know, the sort of connection and the spirit between the players and the fans as the players came around to like acknowledge the fans behind the net. Wow, you know, even thinking about it now, it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, because I was looking around the away block in Coventry and I was seeing, you know, grown adults crying. And you know, I was as well, you know. And then I think I said this on a podcast a few weeks ago. I was there on my own. I just made a spontaneous trip down, you know. So I parked up in the multi-story just at the side of the rink. But I went for a drink afterwards just to let the crowds clear. And
because you have to in that multi-story.
You have to in that multi-story, or else you'll still be there now.
Yeah.
But you know, when I went to like go and pay for my parking ticket in the multi-story, a couple of Blaze fans just sort of like said, you know, we're really, really pleased you won that game, you know, and that started me off again.
This is Coventry. Yeah. I mean, I sat here earlier, and we're now moving on to a different thing. I want Coventry now to go on. No offence, Aidan, but I want Coventry to win the whole thing now. I want them to do it for Keno. Because if any team has felt anything close to what we felt this season,
it's them.
And for them to turn it on like they've done this, to go to Cardiff
and batter them 5-0. Lot 5-0.
Oh, Bouncy let us down though.
I mean, yes.
Screw you, Cardiff.
It hurt us at the end of the day. And that, but they've gone to Cardiff. They battered them 5-0. They beat the Lannisters tonight. The Tories, whatever you want to call them. Go on and finish the story, Coventry. Yeah. Finish the story. It's WrestleMania weekend. Finish the story.
Oh my God. I've just remembered what I wanted to say when Gemma was talking. Aidan, I will get to you in a minute, I promise. I am simultaneously very sad that this season is over because I'm going to miss that bunch of guys. But yeah. At the same time, I'm exhausted and I was ready for it to be over. So,
I am looking forward to not having to spend any money next weekend. And not have to worry about results, sit here on X, refresh.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's the playoff finals weekend where we are going to have a good time.
Yes, we are going to have a good time. Aidan, I'm sorry, you've been very patient. Where did you want to come in?
I mean, I was going to talk about fans, but just going back to the point that we just made, isn't it weird when you heard X referred to as X and not Twitter? It does sound vaguely pornographic.
I still say Twitter because...
If
it was up to me, I'd still call Starburst Opal Fruits. I'm just putting it out there. I'm showing my age now.
But he was just talking about like the fan base and like the support and the connection you guys have had throughout. And it just... As someone who's lived here for the last 10 years, I chose to live here. Like, I had options of where to go when I was in Manchester several years ago. And I chose here partly because of the people. Nottingham people are the nicest people that I have ever met.
Oh,
he can be back on this podcast.
Yeah, but not too often. I mean, he's a Storm fan after all.
This is true.
That's because you get to like halfway through the country where we are, and I am even going to include them Orange lot in this. The further north you get, the more friendly. This, I mean, I know there's a rivalry. I'm getting gestures from Miss. generally outside of London. You go, the further north you go, the friendlier it gets, and it starts here, I think, personally.
You're biased, but okay, anyway.
I do disagree a little bit because I'm from Manchester, which is further north than here.
Well,
all right. Well,
so,
it stops at Scotland.
Okay. But anyway, the people here are great, and it's like, because I play for several rec teams. I play for rec teams in the Northwest, and I've come up against ones from all over the country, and I play for one here in Nottingham. And the guys I play for here in Nottingham is the nicest rec team you've ever met. The ones in the Northwest are all weird. The ones in the Northeast tend to be rougher. Cardiff can be quite rough as well. But Nottingham, we're the nicest. And but the other thing is, I think about, especially about the Panthers fan base, you've not been spoiled by success. You've had periodic success, but you've not had constant periods of it. You've not had boom and bust or years and years of success. Yeah. You've not had domination, no. And I think that's made a difference between yourselves and other of the big club fan bases. Do you remember what Coventry used to be like 20 years ago when they were on top of the world?
Yeah.
It was a horrible place to go.
It was. I mean, you know, under Tomo. I mean,
yeah. It was.
It was like what a team he built, you know. And I think Neil Martin was back at Coventry tonight, wasn't he? You know, arguably one of the best, if not the best D-man that, you know, this country's seen for the last 20, 25 years. I mean, what a player. But anyway, you know, I digress. I agree with you, Aidan. I think you're very right about it. He should work for the tourist board, shouldn't he? He should work for the Nottingham Tourist Board.
I'm glad you said tourist and not Tories.
Oh,
just picking on the Coventry thing. Like, my first playoff finals weekend was the first year I'd started coming regularly. So I was still relatively... I'm still clueless now. But I can remember it all going round, and every fans block got to sing, like, oh, you know, stand up if you love Panthers, stand up. Blah, blah. It got round to Coventry and it was like, no one likes you. No one likes you. And I was like... And I actually wanted Coventry to win that weekend because I knew that the likelihood it was going to be Coventry-Sheffield in final, and I didn't want Sheffield to win. So, yeah, weird. So, yeah, I've come full circle, haven't I? I was like, go on, you blaze.
Oh, dear, here we go.
Yeah, obviously the circumstances, yeah. I at first, as soon as you said I want Coventry to win the playoffs, I was kind of like, as a Manchester guy in the room, I was kind of like...
to the heart.
But no, obviously... Yeah, obviously, Coventry, I've been through very tough times recently as well, so heart goes out to those guys. Yeah, it's amazing that they've also managed to claw themselves back into the playoffs.
Well, we did talk about that on the last podcast. And I mean, you know, just sort of, you know, put a full stop on that. What happened with the Nottingham Panthers, it happened quite early on in the season, so we had time for the players to collect themselves. Coventry didn't get a chance to breathe, and here they are still... You know, they're fighting. They've been fighting just as much as we have, but in a more concentrated space of time.
And they did not have the... I don't want to say luxury, because that is not the right word to use.
The benefit.
They didn't have the benefit of a pause in their season where they could stop playing, collect and gather their thoughts, you know, seek whatever help and assistance they might have needed.
I hope they are getting it, by the way.
I very much hope they are getting assistance. But, you know, they didn't have that. They had to just launch themselves back into the next game and the next game and the next game.
Well, it was either that or they just finished the season. That those were the options, and they're very bleak.
Exactly.
It's very bleak at that end of the season.
And that's why I'm really sort of disappointed with some of the feedback I've seen from Blaze fans on social media that have gone in heavy and hard on their team, you know, and the fact that they've lost quite a few games recently and they've sort of stumbled down the standings a bit to the point where, you know, they were literally hanging on by fingernails to make the you know, playoff quarterfinals. So fair play to Coventry, they've shown so much mental resolve to, you know, sort of like fight it out and pull out a massive win last night in Cardiff, massive win, and that shows a lot of mental resolve, so credit to them. I do agree with Ant, you know, it would be, you know, now we're not involved, I don't sort of actively cheer for another team because, you know, Nottingham will always be my team and I don't sort of subscribe to this thing that I'm on loan to anybody else.
If we're not there, I hope they all lose.
Yeah. I will support the pub business on playoff final weekend.
Absolutely.
But, you know, fair play to Coventry. I think it would be an amazing story if they did win the playoff finals. But, you know, who knows? Four teams, you know, everyone's got, well, eight teams now, but, you know, may the best team win.
Well, I'm just going to put it out there. Coventry obviously have won it from eighth before. You know, just putting that out there. Sorry, Ant, you wanted to go in?
Yeah, well, I just wanted... I was waxing lyrical about Finner earlier, but I'm looking at Paul Barmel, who sat next to me, and I'm looking across the cameraman, Adam Reddish. Memory that came up of the Cats Whiskers TV interview that you were, when you accosted Danny Stewart.
Outside the lace market chip.
Paul, come in on that.
Oh no, honestly, I just want to come in with the. I want to come in with the first.
Laughing.
The first thing that a picture of that got posted in one of our WhatsApp groups, and Gemma said, and everybody was like, "Who's that? Who's that guy on the right hand side?" And somebody said it was Aaron Lord, and Gemma went, "Aaron had hair." Paul, go on. See, let's have some memories of that.
I can confirm it was Aaron Lord. He didn't have much hair, but yeah. No, I mean, it was just we saw him walking down the street and we collared him. He didn't like people having their phones on. Because Aaron's phone went off halfway through and he told him to turn his phone off.
See, that's how you mute a swear words, Ara. Just putting it out there.
I can't.
I'm with you. Yeah, turn the... put the swearing warning on. It probably won't always be that good. But, yeah, I mean, we just collared him, got his thoughts. I mean, I recall we were passed by some Dundee fans and somebody said, oh, Dundee fans are here. Dundee are here. Now, yeah, just the fans. Then we went on our merry way, probably back to the pub.
More than likely. I mean, it is a playoff tradition. Zara, you had your hand up a while ago. Do you remember what it was you wanted to say?
She looks clueless.
No, I'm absolutely clueless. I can't even remember what we spoke about just before then, so no.
No, okay, that's fine. So... What?
We've got an in-joke.
Okay, no, let's not bother with the in-joke, because it'll take too long to explain it.
We will do what we can to stop Adam Reddish winning Monopoly Go.
Oh, wow, okay. Oh, yes. This is... No, we're not... Let's not dwell on this at all.
This is a hockey podcast, not a Monopoly podcast.
Okay, so... One particular thing I can remember, we've had a little bit of tweet engagement. So I will go around the table and we had somebody tweet in asking what our top three moments are, but I think there's so many of us, I think we need to condense it. But Gemma actually did send us a similar tweet that said, "What is your favourite moment over the course of this season?" Right, I'm going to go first. I am going to call rights because I have the recording device in my hand, and I know it's not necessarily a Nottingham Panthers related moment, and I apologise if I get a little bit emotional about this. So my favourite moment of this season genuinely has been inviting my fellow ladies to come on this podcast and watching them absolutely cack their pants a bit prior to me hitting the record button, but absolutely smashing it out of the park. Watching them flourish and watching those ladies bring their very valid opinions to the table was an absolute point of pride for me this season, and I could not be happier that two of those ladies are now sitting with us around the table and have made a contribution tonight. So I think our little TCW collective is probably going to expand in the coming months. I'm just going to put that out there. So Zara, you immediately put your hand up when I said, "What is your favourite moment of the season?"
For me, it was Cardiff away on the 2nd of December. And the reason why, it was the first game we won after Adam Johnson. And a lot of us went and we didn't know what to expect. There was a lot of alcohol involved and it was just a great trip anyway. But the way the players just played, just to kind of go out there, you know, so soon after it happened and to get that first win after what happened, it was I cannot tell you how incredible it was. Todd Kelman even came over and had a conversation with him, and you just felt so connected. But for me, because that was the first game that we'd won after what happened, it's so memorable. And the fan base were incredible, the players were incredible, and I'll always remember that game. We birthed a new song everywhere we go.
You guys absolutely need to take credit for that. I'm just going to put that out there.
Thank you. There's a few.
Because it's a Notts song, isn't it?
It's a Notts County song.
A lot of the teams sing it now.
But last season, it sort of became a massive thing at Notts County, and there's videos on YouTube too. Prove that, but it got massive, and then I just merely suggested that we maybe replicate that at Cardiff away before Christmas, and it was a goer.
I can't remember you doing that. I just started singing it for the shits and gigs. But
here we go. There's the expletive warning for the night.
To be fair, we were very, very drunk.
But it was also very funny because our friend Paul Radford was there and we called him Ultra Paul and he loved it.
You mentioned about, credit, blah, blah, blah. No, the credit goes to the fact that it was that song has then been taken on by other Panthers fans and then it started to spread around the arena. Well and good.
It's not mine.
It's all well and good, our little group getting that small little block, away block in Cardiff singing that song. And basically, every time Cardiff started to sing a song, we outsung him and we sat them down.
And there's only 100 of us and 3,000 of them.
Go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, my moment of the season...
Hang on, because I think Gemma wanted to go in first.
Gemma
was gesturing wildly.
I'll cue jump.
I'll come back to you, I promise.
How dare you do that to me? That is my favourite moment. And it was both on the ice and off the ice as well. On ice, we were fantastic. And off ice, as a group, it was just wow. And then Todd Kelman making a deal with us and losing and buying us a pint, and it was
I never saw killer Kelman play, but by all accounts he was another one. That video, Kate, was it British Ice Hockey Fights? Yeah. Put that video up the other day when he's fighting a Nottingham lad and Zawiski, wasn't it? Yeah. And then I had to share it with the group because that's just Todd Kelman getting his head
like kicked in. This is great. Yeah. As much as I love Kelman now, as on the ice, apparently he was another one. He was in.
But he's another one like Infinity and
loads
of others who's fantastic
really
off the ice.
Yep.
Sorry.
Right, can I?
Yes, 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 yes. Go,
mine?
Go.
Right, my moment of the year sort of like came out of the deep sadness of what happened with Adam Johnson. And Aidan's here, who's like a Manchester representative. But I will be forever grateful, and I think every other Panthers fan should be, for the role that Manchester Storm played in getting us back on the ice, because the sort of spirit that they showed in wanting to arrange a game with us to commemorate Adam Johnson's memory, you know, will stay with me for a long, long, long time. And what that organisation did to sort of like understand the grief and the sort of sadness amongst our own fan base, you know, I'm making myself emotional sort of like relaying this now, because I'm sort of like, it's reopening emotional like wounds and whatnot, but it was incredible. It really was. And I think we should all be entirely and massively grateful for Manchester Storm and what they did to help us get back to playing hockey this season. And if that hadn't happened, who knows, you know, we might have called it a day. You know, Panthers might not have fulfilled their league fixtures this year. So I just want to put on record now a very emotional thank you to the Manchester Storm organisation, and I dare say Ryan Finnerty was involved in it, and probably other people at that club. But yeah, thank you very much, Manchester. So, you know, there we are. That's my moment of the season.
I mean, that might be a natural segue for me to come to Aidan, but I'm not. I'm going to go to Paul.
Me.
Give us a moment, Paul.
Moment. I suppose the moment. This is not really Panthers related. This is very more sort of personal. But it was the moment when I sent on the submission for the book, which meant I was a proper published author.
Yes!
Not only that,
it's not just Jono using your quotes. When Jono's not here, they're using your quotes for the Panthers webcast. And
good stuff.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, because as far as I'm concerned, you can never say you are something until you've been paid to do it. So I've been paid to do that, so yeah. Next book's coming out soon. The first one is currently still on sale, because I haven't been home to
unsail it.
But from tomorrow it will no longer be on sale. So get it now.
Marvellous.
You have 3 hours.
Yes, you're on notice. Aidan, I mean, if you want to make it Panthers related, you can. But, you know, you're here, you're a Storm fan. Do you have a moment of the season?
I do. You're probably not going to like it.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Well, I'll start with one that you will like. Beating Sheffield away for the first time in 6 years was a rather lovely one a few weeks ago. But no, that for me. So over the past, for quite a few years, the Storm were a team who would win a lot of games at home, but were really struggling to get any kind of anything going on the road. We were always a team rocking to Nottingham, and we'd get beat night after night. And obviously me living here means this is the game that I was always coming to. But then it started to happen last season, and it's happened this season as well. We are now a team who can compete home and away, and the first victory that we had here this season kind of really put that marker down for the rest of the season. So apologies, Panthers fans, but from a Manchester point of view, seeing my team do well in this building was a sign of things to come.
You're sacked, you're never coming on again. Alison, do you have a moment you would like to contribute in relation to any hockey kind of context?
I don't know. I think tonight definitely stands out, I think, because it was like the fire to kind of get the win today. Obviously.
Remember who you're supporting, love.
I know, but I live here as well.
Hey, look, no. You don't speak French. You don't get a voice here.
No, but I just thought, like, today, just to seeing all the fan literally cheering, like, to the extent they did today, was a big moment for Panthers. And I really enjoyed, like, witnessing this. At some point, I was clapping, and you're like, you're with the Storm fans. I was like, I know, but, you know, it's quite nice to see everyone, like, cheering and literally have that fire to kind of get that win.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for Storm, I mean, I've enjoyed going to the games every weekend as much as I could, and, you know, front row to see the team and seeing Aidan kind of doing his gig, that's been incredible. So, yeah, I'll take that.
Marvellous. So, yeah, a very quick transition of personnel. Zara's had to run away to go and get a train, unfortunately. I was going to collect some sort of, like, well, closing statements, I suppose. However...
we're carrying on.
As predicted, one Mr. Jono Bullard has entered the room. Hello, Jono.
Hello.
And how in the hell did you keep yourself together tonight?
Yeah, I'm still wondering how I did that. I don't know. I was a mess. From the moment that goal went in till the end of the broadcast when I finally signed off, I don't know how I managed to keep my emotions in check, but somehow I managed. I was struggling at the start because we switched the mics off when they did the fan thank yous. And when Jonathan Paradise come on and everybody started applauding, I just started filling up. And I filmed I filmed that as well.
That was me before the starting. Out of all of them, it was JP's that hit me the most.
Yeah.
And someone was definitely chopping onions.
It was very dusty. Hey
Fever.
Hey, there we go. How was
the post-game podcast? Did you do a post-game podcast?
We waited because it was the player sponsors shirt presentation, so we went and did that, took a few photos, and then Chris was waiting by the locker room, so me and Ken went down. Chris Gatsby was still there, so yes, we did do a post-game podcast. You know what, it was quite upbeat and positive. Look, we finished the season with 10 points out of 12 available in 6 games. We did everything we could to try and make the playoffs. In the end, it just wasn't enough. But every single one of that team are heroes. They've given everything. They've given 100% every single shift. And they couldn't have done any more. Look, we all know what's happened. It's been gone over thousands and thousands of times. The way that team responded and came back, they didn't have to, and they did, and carried on and continued to give 100% every single shift that they were on the ice. They just, you know, to me, they are champions. Yeah. They're not. They haven't got a trophy.
Do that as well.
But they are champions.
I'm going to come to you in a second, Paul. I know you did have your hand up, but...
They... That's the
line
giving my favourite moment, yeah.
Well, here we go.
Ant's favourite moment.
Oh, God. Well, I mean...
Yes, we want to hear Ant's favourite moment.
Yeah, we do want to hear it. To be fair, you almost did hijack somebody else's, but I'm, you know, it's fine. I've actually forgotten what I was going to say, so I'm just going to go back to Paul.
I mean, you know, we I think most of us around this table were sat in Dundee. 2-3 weeks ago.
Aidan
and Alison, we
all sort of looked at what was coming up and just went, we're done. And we had a quiet moment where we all just sat there and said, we're done.
Well, to be fair, we were going to podcast that night and we didn't because we were all just so dejected.
Yeah. Well, that's true, yeah. I mean, you know, and you know, that game went, but what I want to point out is going back to something our friend and his, Dave Sims, tweeted start of the season that Sheffield top, well, he got that one right, cheating so-and-sos, and Nottingham bottom. Not quite, Dave, not quite.
No.
Yeah, ninth place. So anyway, Ant, just so I don't upset you.
It's had build up now and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it better be a good one. I'm just putting it out there.
And I've had all this time to listen to you lot speak about your favourite moments, and I still don't have a favourite moment in the season. What I will say is... This is like a Thanksgiving episode. For all the North American listeners out there... I am thankful for the many, many, many away trips that we've had this season. We've done them all, pretty much. Me and Adam have spent far too much time north of Hadrian's Wall and seen us concede far too many goals. But I would... And I say this every year, and I look forward, you know, we've got playoff finals weekend in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever it is.
Two weeks
time. I chuffing love you lot. I chuffing love my hockey lot.
This season has been one of hardship. It's been, there's been a lot of hurt. This has been the hardest season I've known of any sport.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe touching back on things that have happened in the past in football, but for our team, and I suppose this is my favourite moment, that for our team to come back on the ice competitively after what had happened. I mean, I don't think anybody around here would have had any bad word to say had we just called it a day. We were sat in Scotland, and I think we all broke down within about a minute of speaking.
Yeah.
You know, because we should have been playing a doubleheader at that weekend. Just the love and respect that we got from the Dundee fans on that Sunday, because those of us that had gone up, there was loads of us that had moved, they'd allowed us to move a ticket to the Sunday. I think just the love, whole love from the hockey community, and it takes away. We hate Sheffield from a sporting perspective. We hate Coventry from a sporting perspective. I'm sat here going, come on, you Blaze. Because if anybody deserves to finish a story, if it's not going to be us, it's them this season. I don't have a lot of like for many teams, including Manchester Aiden, in this league. But I tell you what, the hockey family thing is the thing that's brought up quite a lot, especially in the UK, because it's a minority sport. It has never been tested or proven as much as it had been this season. And that is my... I know it's a lot of favourite moments, but I suppose that's the favourite thing in the most. Thank you. Just thank you. And then, you know what? We're going to be effing back next year, and we're going to win the effing lot.
Paul, you had your hand up some time ago. Do you still want to come in?
Can I remember what it was? Yeah, I just want to say, now I'm retiring, I am available for away trips.
Marvellous.
Is that to play?
I mean, to be fair, we've
right winger. Yeah, I mean, we've gone into games with 3D men. So, I mean, can you play D?
Well, I have been offered a contract. Yes. Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Jousting? Are we jousting?
Yes.
Yes. Always.
We need the jousting. We haven't done that yet. But you know what Ant's been saying is right. You know, we had what we had, and we came back from that. It was a slow process, and we made our way back. And there were times when it didn't look like we were going to do it, but you know, we are here, and I think. Going back to what Anne says, it's testament to the fact that we're all sat round this table having a laugh and a drink and a joke.
And a cry.
Yeah. And this is the sort of stuff that we've been doing week in, week out, when, you know, the world was crumbling round us. We just sort of came here and got on with it.
Yeah. But, and I just want to just follow up on that before I come to Jono. It's been about each other, hasn't it? We've been here to drag each other through, like Ant's already said, and you know, it's I think that's
the emotional network.
Very much so. I think there's been an awful lot of leaning on your people this season, most definitely. Jono, sorry, you wanted to come in.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. What's happened. We finished ninth. We've not made the playoffs, but I think from this season, the players, the club, the fans, everyone has represented this club and this city with absolute pride and honour. And thank you. As someone who now works for the club, thank you. It's been quite humbling at times, the love and support that we've received. And I think everyone who is connected with the Nottingham Panthers, be a fan, be a player, off-ice staff, on-ice staff, you know, we've done ourselves proud and we've represented the city with pride.
Definitely. Adam,
can I just say, I've said to Jono in a few private conversations how much I've appreciated his commentary this year. I think those that have done that, you know, you, Greener, I don't want to make him cry, I don't want to make him sad, but you know, we...
That's all right, Gemma's already doing it for him.
I know. Gemma's already blubbing, and I think I'm well on my way to making myself cry, but the guys that have actually worked hard to bring us, you know, the match night commentaries, you know, everything that goes on behind the scenes, you know, from night to night at the Panthers, we, you know, we're really, really grateful for, because they've kept the show on the road. They've sort of kept this sense of, you know, normality when things have been far from normal. And, you know, I just want to thank Jono as a friend for many, many, many years. You know, he's done an amazing job. And I just want to sort of like put that on record, because, you know, I'm starting to think he's the voice of the Panthers. And he's a damn good commentator. And I'm so happy that after years of wanting to do it, he got the chance to do it. And okay, this year's been really...
I've got my break in Manchester.
You got your break in Manchester. Yeah.
I was waiting for Aidan to come in on that. I really was. I was waiting.
I was the voice of the storm first. That's
yeah, yeah. And didn't Omar call you out on that as well?
Well, no, yeah, he did. But that's what got me the job. That's what got me the job. My commentary on the Storm's penalty shot victory over the Steelers got me the Panthers job.
Wasn't it something along the lines of you got a bit too excited once when Panthers scored against Manchester?
And then had to rein it back in.
Sorry, Paul, you had your hand up there. I'll come to you in a second, Ant, as well.
I was just going to say that whatever Jono's done, it hasn't done anything for me, because I've not actually listened to any of it.
Well, no, because... You've been too busy attending.
Indeed.
In person.
Yeah.
Or being on holiday.
But, you know, I can't always affect that. But, yeah, I'm back here now.
Yeah. So, just to follow on, I'm going to, like, push my views that I don't realise. I'm going to let you guys talk. It's very easy. Maybe.
I'm going to your pie.
Yeah. Well, I don't care if you. I don't care if you guys are listening, because you all like abandoned me anyway, and I have to try and figure out how the hell to keep this going while you're off at the toilets or at the bar. Anyway, just to follow on from the things that you guys have just said, going back to October, November, while the eyes of the world were upon the Nottingham Panthers, the city of Nottingham, the fans, and, you know, various media outlets wanted a piece of the tragedy to sensationalise our sport. The Nottingham Panthers have, and everybody connected with them, have conducted themselves in an exemplary fashion. Everything that has been done was incredibly well thought out. It was incredibly well executed, and at the time, you can go back on you know my Twitter timeline perhaps, and just look at the things that have, you know, that I have that have affected me at the time. The updates at the time were thoughtful. They were, you know, measured.
They struck a chord.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And, you know, everything that came out of the organisation was appropriate.
But it never felt artificial.
No, very much not. So those of us that went the day after to go and lay our flowers and go up to Bolero Square, from the players and the coaching staff coming out to face the media, and then the memorial service over here, and just little tiny things. And this has absolutely stuck with me, despite me having the memory of a goldfish that I always refer to. There were representatives from the NHS there at the memorial service, handing out leaflets in the queue for anybody who wanted, you know, to receive any support and details on how you could do that. And honestly, right down to the very most minute detail, it was beautiful. The way that everybody connected with this club and everybody connected with the tragic incident that ultimately saw Adam Johnson lose his life, Everybody conducted themselves wonderfully. And that goes outside of the Nottingham Panthers. That's like you referred to earlier, and the hockey family. And I think you referenced it as well, Adam. It was wonderful to see us all come together. And I hope that we can learn from this. I hope that next season we can engage ourselves properly. And I forget who said this, you know, that the hockey is the sole focus, because we've had one hell of a year. The people we lost in the summer, Adam Johnson, Dale Keane, Alex Graham,
Mike Hammond.
We said it in the last podcast, didn't we, guys? It's been quite the year. So I'm ready for it to just be about the hockey. But we have remembered the people that we've lost in the best way. And I am very proud of everybody who's connected with all of that.
You've also got to remember that we were coming as a city, what we were coming into the season on the back of, after what happened in June last year. This city has been put in the headlines for reasons that shouldn't be ever happened, because of what had happened in June, what happened with Johnson. On the back of, and you need to think, sporting-wise, on the back of Forest being able to stay in the Premier League, that's huge for the city.
Yay!
That's great for the city. Not getting back into the Football League, huge for the city.
You guys.
Thanks, Charlie. Jono. But we've taken a kicking.
Yeah.
And I've always been proud to say that I'm born and bred Nottingham. And this year, this last sort of 12 months, has never made me prouder than I am of this city. I may be a Man United fan, but I am not. I am 100%.
I'm glory. That's
inappropriate, Jono.
You're going to fight in a minute, Jono, because I am not happy about
it. It will be available on the Cat's Whiskers Facebook Live.
I just call you a hunter.
But We have taken a kicking, and you know, we'll rebound from this. We'll rebound from the season. Panthers will rebound from this season and be stronger than ever. Take this connection between the fans and the club and build from it now. Keep the nucleus and build from it now.
Yeah, and Gemma, you've been very patient.
Of course I have. So it's actually going off one of the points that you made, especially when, I'm afraid to bring it up again, but when the whole Adam Johnson situation happened and we all stood there in the ring for the memorial so we could go sign the book of condolences, and you were saying about like the NHS, and they gave like leaflets out like, if you need help, then please go to this. And actually it was really inspiring, especially for someone like myself. Because they kind of sparked a little light in me where it's like, I suffer from my mental health, and because of that one moment, actually for me it was a big turning point, because now it's things like at work, like I'm a mental health ally, I'm a trim practitioner, and it's just that one thing that club did proper ignite, like lit me up, and it was like, do you know what, thanks Panthers, because if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have pushed myself further, I wouldn't have sort of helping, try to encourage other people too. But like I said, it's not just the Panthers organisation on or off the ice, but the fans from absolutely everywhere, and just random strangers when we've been out and about, or you know, being like, I'm really sorry for your loss, and it's just like, that's so lovely. Even people that didn't like know your name could see that you're a Panthers fan and be like, we're really sorry.
Yeah,
that's really cute. Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, social media can be a really, really harsh place, can't it? You know, there's so much sort of, so many trolls about and so much abuse and whatnot. But I mean, I've seen the absolute best of social media this year, you know, and I think a lot of people can get disillusioned by it, you know, with lots of negative comments and, you know, lots of sort of direct abuse. But, you know, after Adam Johnson's, you know, tragic death, there was so much sort of kindness offered to us as an organisation and to individual fans. You know, go back to the fan networks that we have. You know, we all know people that support other clubs, and, you know, they were really forthcoming in their sort of support and, you know, well wishes, and, you know, thank you ever so much for those people. We'll always appreciate that. But it's sort of like, it sort of pointed towards a kinder way of sort of hockey, you know, with people wanting to see the best of life rather than the worst of life. And I think, if anything, this year has made us sort of realise, or made me realise, that, you know, life can be very short, and, you know, without wanting to be too sort of maudlin about it, you never know when your time's up. So let's just try and be kinder to everybody. Let's be kinder to one another. You know, it certainly made me think about the way that I behave on social media. And, you know, of course, you know, we'll always sort of have our opinions and have our views and thoughts, but, you know, let's just be kinder, because, you know, people have shown us a lot of goodwill over the last several months. And, okay, next year it might go back to how it was, you know. Panthers might sign an out-and-out goon, a big enforcer, and, you know, we might sort of, you know, put a few noses out of joint around the league, you know, because people don't like the way we play. And part of me wants that to happen, you know, to get back to normality.
I honestly can't wait for when we all hate each other again.
Exactly, you know, certainly on the ice, you know, but I've really noticed on social media that, you know, people have been kinder. Okay, we're still the odd spat, you know, there's still the odd dispute. I mean, Sheffield and Belfast fans have been kicking, you know, chunks out of each other over the last few days because of various things.
Yeah, man, that's the other end of the table. We don't care.
Exactly, yeah. That's the top end of the table, you know. We're not bothered about that.
No, it doesn't concern us.
But anyway, look, you know, a kinder way of doing business on social media. And, you know, it's certainly sort of, it's left an impact with me. And hopefully, you know, that's something that I'll take on for like next season and all subsequent years beyond that.
Yeah, Aidan, you were waving in my general direction.
Yeah, it's just the thing that's come up quite a few times tonight has been hockey family. Yeah. And I think one thing that we've seen this season after everything that's happened is it feels like the hockey family has gotten a lot closer, particularly Nottingham and Manchester, which feels, from my point of view, quite strange because I already feel quite close to Nottingham anyway. But I made a point in one of our pre-game shows quite a while back that I was seeing a lot of the crap that was coming in the Panthers' direction when results weren't quite picking up.
Yeah, and the thing is, we had a little bit of a chat in one of our WhatsApp groups, particularly amongst myself and the girls, that it was quite annoying to see that was getting a lot of focus. That, you know, there was just one or two of these empty vessels that were getting a lot of attention, because the overwhelming majority of people were, as Adam says, you know, they were kinder and there was a lot more, you know, around being nicer to each other and being more understanding. So it was horrible.
It was, and I think what I wanted to, I felt quite protective. It kind of feels like we are a hockey family, and it felt like those kind of influences and like these random noises from outside who were trying to throw shade on things and trying, you know, talking about stuff that didn't really matter at that point in time. It's just, those people can go away as far as I'm concerned. We don't need them in the hockey family. If they're that kind of person, we don't need them at all. We've got, you know, we've got so much good here in hockey fan bases across the country. And it's one thing that makes us all stand out, like, from all the other sports. I mean, look at the toxicity that exists in football. You know, I'm so proud of the fact that as I can sit at the table with you guys and have a beer, despite the fact that I'm from another team. And I love that. And that's one of the things that's very unique about hockey in this country. And it's what we need to continue with and what we really need to foster and protect.
I mean, playoff final weekend would not be the same if we needed any kind of security or police presence. Let's just put that out.
No, just going on what Aidan said there about some of the toxic comments, which were nipped in the bud by one Aaron Fox, the Sheffield Steelers coach, who with a phenomenal interview, didn't talk about the game, just talked about that, and it all stopped after that. And, you know, I had a lot of respect for Aaron Fox anyway. Even though he's the coach of the Steelers, he's a man who you interview, you ask him a question, he answers it straight and he looks you in the eye while he's doing it, and I'll always respect that.
and he was quite high in my estimation anyway. He went up even higher after he said that.
Yeah, no, I still don't like him. He's a Steelers coach, whatever. Right, gentlemen, I mean, this is... ladies and gentlemen, this is already a very meaty podcast, so I think we need to sort of draw a line under this one. I feel like there is possibly, you know, potential for us to maybe sort of sit down over playoff finals weekend, even though we're not going to be there.
Get us on the Thursday, please. Yeah, get us on the Thursday. Because by Saturday will make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, maybe...
Or maybe it'll make more sense.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Or maybe after, a full English on Sunday morning, you know, while we're all sort of nursing the heads and what have you. Anyway, ladies and gents, just sort of any closing statements. Try not to make them into War and Peace, and I'll just sort of go around the table. So, Alison, you've not said a lot, so I'll just sort of come to you for, you know, just to... There's only Jonathan Paraday that's going to know what she's talking about. So, no, as much as I love to hear a French speaker, Alison.
Oh, my God, I've been put on the spot now. I don't even know what to say, to be honest. I don't know. Just been coming to Nottingham quite a lot against the Manchester Storm. So it's always been a pleasure to kind of attend those games. Obviously, rooting for Manchester, but, you know, Nottingham second team. And I've got Aidan staring at me.
He doesn't know French.
He is trying. He's getting there. Yeah, definitely.
Girls are
out. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have much to say, to be honest. I really enjoy, you know, company and everyone's input and how everyone's coming together. It's brilliant.
Fabulous.
So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
It's been an absolute pleasure being on, so thank you very much for having me. Like I said before, like, guys, because of this guy over here, Mr. John O'Bullard, and my friendship with him, and obviously we worked together in Manchester the last couple of years, and I've gotten to know you all. And it's, like I say, hockey family. It's very special.
Yeah.
And I love it. I really do. Thank you.
Mr. Paul Baum.
What do you want me to say?
I mean, whatever you want to say.
Book's gone back up in price.
No, we've already done that.
We've already done that. Yeah, not yet, it hasn't. It will be doing soon. What do I want to say? I just want to say thank you to everyone. Aaron Lord was supposed to be coming in tonight, but he's not shown up yet.
That's not a shock.
Hashtag snap. It's not a shock, but it was usually good for a free pint. I just want to say thank you to everyone. It's been a roller coaster. It didn't finish the way we wanted to. But come on, Fife!
Oh, good Lord. Jono?
Yeah, just thank you. Thank you to everyone. Thank you for the support. Here's to next season.
Marvellous. Gemma?
Thank you for having me on again. It has been a lovely pleasure. And just thank you to everybody as well.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be the last time. Ant?
Wow. You just shoved the microphone in my face. And I'm trying to...
I mean, that's kind of the point of this podcast, pal. I'm not going to tell you your job or anything.
No, I kind of... Yeah. Once again, like everybody said, thank you. Thank you for those that listen. Thank you for those that get in touch. Thank you for everybody that has been part of this journey this season. Thank you to the Nottingham Panthers team, organisation. Huge credit to the players and much love to them and their families. And everybody involved, and I realise that Adam's now staring at me, and Adam Reddish is giving me the wrap-up signal, and that tells you something. Obviously, you know, we're going to record again before the season's, you know, like you say, we'll probably do something at playoffs, we'll probably do something post-season where we can actually proper sit down and recollect and look at where did it go wrong, you know, and all that. Good luck to the 8 teams that have made it. I'm not with Paul. I'm going, come on, you Blaze, which feels dirty, but, you know, and that's where I'm putting my hat.
Marvellous. Adam?
Crikey. I had about 5 minutes to think of what I was going to say, but nothing seems to be like cohesive in my own mind.
I mean, to be fair, you can just say thanks. There's no obligation here.
I can say thanks. What I will say is, this season's been hard. It's been trying and stressful for everybody. You know, we've all had to deal with things that, you know, we've never had to deal with before as hockey fans. You know, it's been out there. You know, it's been a real outlier. But I think that, you know, overall, we look back and, you know, we've lost some incredible people this year, sadly. And fans, we've lost fans as well as players. And, you know, it's left its emotional scars on us all. And, you know, it's going to take a while for those scars to heal. They may never heal. You know, we'll always remember, you know, the people that we've sadly lost. But just want to say, you know, thanks to everybody, you know, the networks, the communities that have formed and have been kind and have been sympathetic and compassionate have been, you know, overwhelming at times, you know, and have made me emotional, made lots of other hockey fans emotional. And I'm sure there's been so much goodwill shown towards us that... you know, I'm just rambling now, but I think what I want to say is thanks to everybody that's sort of given a damn and shown an interest in the Nottingham Panthers this season, because, you know, that group of players that we've got are a special group of players. We ain't going to ever forget them. You know, we'll never forget the players or anybody associated with the Nottingham Panthers this season. I will be forever grateful for their efforts that they've put in when it would have been easy to walk away, easy to quit, easy to just... you know, go someplace else because they wanted to get away from what happened. They didn't. They stayed. They fought. They, you know, gutsed it out. And, you know, I will be forever in their debt and forever in their honour. So, thank you. I love this team. I just want to put that on record. I love this team. I love this fan base. I love everything about the Nottingham Panthers. You're all incredible, and I'm starting to make myself cry again, so I better wrap up now. Thank you.
Yeah, and apparently Ant thinks he deserves another platform. Go on.
Well, no, I was going to say, do you want to say your thanks or anything first?
No, you go
and
first.
Then come back to me, because my question is literally, Paul's put his five flag up. He's going for the Flyers to win it. I'm going for the Blazers to win it. I'm guessing the two over here are going for the Manchester.
We don't even need to go over there. We know that they want their team to win it.
So, yeah, Jono...
Hello.
He has a voice.
Yeah.
What? Who's winning?
Who's winning what? The playoffs.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Or who are you backing? Who are you backing for?
I'd love Storm to win. I would love Storm to win. Hopefully Sheffield get knocked out by five. But they probably won't be, sadly. I think if Storm. I think Storm with Evan Veninger, who is the best netminder in the league, if he's on form, which he always is, I think he can win it for them. So
it's all right. Yeah, John Armstrong's retired, so we're fine.
Yeah.
Gemma.
No, she's
out. I broke her.
You broke Gemma.
I don't know.
Just say thank you.
But you're backing. You can say your team that you're backing.
I'd say Devils though, just because I like the Welsh national anthem. That's literally it.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Hey, no, that's fine.
Tenuous.
I mean, hey, look, we'll take it. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
I will go. Can I have two picks?
No.
You can have that,
the team that you're
there.
Emotionally backing and the team that you think will win.
Okay, the team I'm emotionally backing is the Blaze for obvious reasons. I would also not be too sort of like disheartened by the Storm winning because I like an underdog. I like a non-arena team.
Here, by the way,
so, but by the same token, that could be Fife, that could be Guildford. Anybody really but Giants or Steelers or Devils.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. I think I would like to see somebody different. No. Noel knows how I feel. Our Belfast correspondent, Noel Gillespie, knows damn well how I feel, and I am not going to change my opinion. It's just not happening. I would like to see somebody different win it. That's just basically that's it. That's all I've got. So, just to come back to my closing statements. I would like to say thank you very much to you guys who have been listening to us, who have been continuing to listen to us and submitting content. Thank you very much. We appreciate you from the very bottom of our hearts. I would like to once again say thank you to the ladies who I invited on to do a podcast for International Women's Day. Gemma is solely responsible for that.
You'll be getting votes next.
Hey, it's fine. I don't care. I burned my bra. Burn my bra and everything. I deserve a vote. Anyway.
You have to do the ironing in a bit, Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. You do the ironing. You do the ironing, you think about what you've said. Just to return. Thank you very much to my gaggle of girls who absolutely excelled when they were absolutely terrified. I would like to say thank you to everybody who I've shared an away trip with, everybody who I've shared the table in bunkers with, including you guys who are around the table right now. The Nottingham Panthers for absolutely impeccable behaviour throughout this whole season. And I just, once again, I would like to say I am very, very sorry to see this season end because of the emotional connection that we have. I think all of us of a Panthers persuasion have developed to this team. We're never going to see this team again. This team will be held in as high regard as the team that brought us the treble. And they will be remembered as such, and quite rightly too. So, just thank you. Again, we will probably be doing something over the course of playoff final weekend if we are, sober's not even a conversation. If we are at least as compass mentors as we are now. And we will be continuing to podcast through the summer as developments go on and as the news continues to break. So, here's to the people that we lost. Here's to the people we're going to gain. And here's to the hockey family. So with that, I would like to bid you all a farewell. Cheerio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, bye everybody. Bye. Bye. Thank you.